Our community is engaged in the process of selecting a new minister. And over the past few months, we listened to and questioned candidates for that position. The most common question put to each candidate was, "What would you do to attract more people to this church?" And the general response was to use or make greater use of Facebook, Instagram, and other social media platforms. I recently watched a TED Talk about successful businesses, and the speaker, he studied many different types of business and tried to identify the common traits shared by the most successful companies. And he believed that the information he came up with can be usefully applied to all types of organizations outside of the world of business. Now, despite the fact that I have a degree in commerce, business never really interested me. So you're going to be very glad to know that the next part about business is going to be short. This speaker said that there are three elements to every business enterprise: the what, the how, and the why. Now, every company knows the what and the how of its business. Every company knows what they produce and how they produce it. They know what they make, they know how they make it. And then to sell their product to the customers, our prospective customers, they will try to tell us the advantages of their products over the other companies. And so far, they are all equal. But he said what differentiates successful enterprises is the why. The speaker believed that exceptional success comes down to why. Why does a company or an organization do what it does? Now, every business has to make a profit. But to be really successful, profit must be only part of what motivates that organization. And when profit becomes the driving force of that organization, sooner or later it will fail, or at a very minimum, reach very choppy waters. And a classic example of that is the Boeing story. Boeing aircraft had been in business for 109 years. They were the leaders in the field. They built their reputation on innovation and on safety. There was a change in management, and profit became more important. And so they began to lease out to other companies to make their product. The original company's motto had been safety and innovation, and everyone in the company was encouraged to be part of that. So if somebody had any new idea how to do things better, they were listened to. If the cleaner saw something was unsafe, the cleaner brought it to the attention and it was acted upon. That's how they made their reputation. Then they leased out, so the people had that attitude to the work. And as well as that, they skimped on safety checks, with the result that two of their new planes crashed, taking the lives of 350-oddish people. Their reputation is now in tatters. They're no longer the major airline. It's cost them $35 billion to date. And the European company are doing much better than they do. If our aim is to just bring people into this church, it's not going to succeed in the long time. It has to be more than just people coming in that door. Because lots of people come in the door. It's bringing people in who find a home with us we should be interested in. So let's look at how we might apply these ideas to religion. The Buddha took 6 years to find enlightenment, and he had traveled down many different spiritual paths before he found his truth. Having found it, he wanted it to share it with others. And like Jesus, much later on, at the beginning of the Buddha's ministry and Jesus, The evil one tempted the Buddha, as Jesus was tempted. And the evil one very nearly succeeded with the Buddha. And how he nearly succeeded was, he pointed out that the Buddha's teaching is very difficult. It is convoluted. It is quite hard to understand the subtleties of it. And the Buddha said he almost turned away when he realized how difficult it would be. But then he thought, if only one person reaches enlightenment, it will be worth it. And so he began to teach. And 2,500, nearly 3,000 years later, people are still following Buddhist teaching. More recently, people followed Dr. Martin Luther King, not because of social media. 250,000 turned up in Washington on the same day. And they followed him when he shared his dream of a society based on justice and equality. They shared his dream and they joined his cause. If social media would fill this church, maybe we should just employ an advertising agency. I don't think that would work, though. We have to ask ourselves, why do we do what we do? Why have people come to this church for hundreds of years? Why do we come here on Sunday? Some people may not be aware, even how often you come in here, may not be aware that we have a plaque outside that says, "We welcome all who wish to worship in a spirit of freedom, reason, and tolerance." But I don't think many of us today come here to worship. This morning's opening words listed reasons why we may gather together: to face our ideals, to remember loved ones, to make confession, to offer forgiveness, to be enlightened. And some of us come for that. And sometimes we come for different reasons. Maybe for the music, to meet your friends and enjoy a coffee. When I was thinking about the reasons I come here to do this address, I come up with the following reason. And that word is connection. I come here for connection. I want to reconnect with this open-minded, inclusive community that does not demand uniformity of belief. I don't want to be told what to believe. I want to be enticed to find what I find to be true. I want to reconnect with unchanging truths that all religions teach. And I want to connect with the deeper spirit within me, and that is in every person, that we often refer to God or the sacred or divinity. Some religions may say that my list should be in reverse order, that it should be God, religious truths, and then community. But I excuse myself because, being human, I begin with what chimes with my experiences. When life is tough on us, we want community. We don't say, "I want to reconnect with God." I want to be with a community that try to remind me how to live this life as best as I can. And then I know that in time, the soul that is in within me will call me to reflect and to practice soul care. And that teaching is as old as the Hindu tradition, which is beyond time. While mainstream religion has lost its general appeal, we need connection that draws people to this place and to other sacred places. And we need those more than ever. If you just think about connection to community, in 2024, in a survey, 20% of Irish people admitted to feeling lonely most of the time. And yet we live in a very connected world, a world that is more connected than ever. And the old Irish saying, if sco a chéile a bhur an adhine, we are stronger together. But we do need community to thrive. And we need it like that story this morning. We achieve more when we work together. Reconnection with the perennial truths held by all religions is equally important for all of us. Because we live in a world that values wealth, position, physical appearance, and worldly success. And we live in a world that tells us that happiness is found in consuming things. And we live in a world where we are constantly told it's okay to think of yourself first. Look after yourself. It's not your business that there are people starving. We know within our hearts that the baubles of wealth, position, and physical beauty only bring fleeting happiness. But it's in human nature that we're like children. As a child is attracted to a colourful rattle, baubles and wealth and power attract us. And we need that constantly being brought back to that lasting happiness, or to use that language of Christianity, the kingdom of God, that it's not found in wealth or worldly success. The kingdom of God or enlightenment is experienced when love or compassion take center stage to our actions. And a question for us who are recruiting a new minister now is, what do we expect of this new minister? Not to be a genius on social media. To be able to open the computer will do me. There are other people who can do that. In the early 1800s, writing about religious education, William Ellery Channing said, "The aim is not to impose religion, but to awaken conscience and moral discernment, to awaken the soul." That's what we expect of people in the pulpit, to awaken our conscience and our soul. It's not to be told what to do. The Buddha said, "Don't believe anything I tell you until you know it's true." And if we are like that, we have to examine the truth. And when we know something is true, when you really know it, it is much easier to do that thing. Another writer, Ralph Waldo Emerson, said that religion cannot be learned from books. It must come from personal experience. He said a minister can only inspire or provoke a congregation. Cannot tell us. Can put before us things that may help, but they can't tell us prescription how to live well. According to Emerson, he or she does this by sharing with the congregation life passed through the fire of the truths that are found in all the religious traditions. He reminded us that revelation did not stop 2,000 years ago. It is a continuing process. And they're really important things to remember. You can't put faith or religion into stone and say that's it for all time. The minister can inspire and provoke and remember what is expected of the congregation. With every successful organization, success is more likely if the congregation plays its part. At our membership service, we say to prospective members, we ask you to make this community the very precious gift, the gift of your individual ideas and your ideals. Share with us your creative thoughts, your vital experiences of life, your questions, your doubts, and your discoveries of all the ways in which life affects you. We want participation by everyone. Facebook, Instagram, and media platforms may play a part in the success of our future community. But if this church is to attract people who come and find their home with us, we all have our part to play. Amen.